This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from the Olympic Summer Games in Rio.
The wildfires in California spreading, exploding out of control. Even longtime firefighters say they've never seen anything quite like the conditions that are occurring right now. Tens of thousands forced to flee, and tonight NBC's Jolene Kent is taking us to the front lines of the effort to stop the fire's relentless advance.
Up in smoke in an instant. Flames feeding off bone-dry brush, gusty winds, and high temperatures. The five-year drought adding fuel to the fire.
It was just nothing, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Shocking even to veteran firefighters.
In my 40 years of fighting fire, I've never seen fire behavior so extreme.
A wall of destruction rushing through San Bernardino County. Smoke visible 60 miles away in Los Angeles. Highways and railways shut down. The flames spread across 46 square miles in just 21 hours, closing Interstate 15 and rail traffic leaving Los Angeles.
We've evacuated nearly 35,000 homes in the affected area, which also includes approximately 80-some thousand residents.
Today, we got a firsthand look at the devastation.
There is no way to safely engage a fire that has that much anger and energy.
The fire created its own weather system.
Go, go!
Homes and vehicles burned. The golden arches melted.
It hit hard. It hit fast.
One casualty, the famous Route 66 Summit Inn, a historic landmark and a favorite of Elvis. Rescue teams evacuated a 90-year-old hospice patient. The air attack couldn't slow down the flames. Firefighters going in, evacuees rushing to get out.
Grab what we could.
For evacuees given just a moment's notice, the question was what to take.
Medicine. You know, clothes, papers, pictures.
Carol Hill lived here for 20 years and knew exactly what needed to be saved.
My son passed away a couple years ago, so I grabbed his flag.
This fire still very dynamic and moving fast at 0% containment. You can see it here behind me moving the smoke and the flames, moving towards a residential area, giving firefighters a new battle. And this fire showing no signs of stopping anytime soon. Lester?
A frightening scene behind you. Jolene, thank you. To presidential politics now, another bombshell from the Trump campaign. Donald Trump facing dire poll numbers, shaking things up again, this time bringing on the head of a controversial conservative website to try and right the ship. Trump also getting his first classified intelligence briefing. Today we have it all covered, starting with NBC's Katie Turr at Trump Tower. Katie, what a day.
Hey, Lester, some in the GOP are describing this as Trump's last-ditch effort. Facing what could be a withering loss in November, he's turning towards a dark anti-establishment message. Campaign sources say Donald Trump believes he knows best, today adding new faces who will let him campaign the way he wants. Stephen Bannon of conservative firebrand news site Breitbart, now campaign CEO. Kellyanne Conway, longtime friend and Republican pollster, campaign manager. In late June, Trump dumped top aide Corey Lewandowski for chairman Paul Manafort in an effort to pivot to a more traditional campaign operation. It didn't work, and Trump wasn't happy.
I don't want to pivot. I mean, you have to be you. If you start pivoting, you're not being honest with people.
Bannon rocketed to fame during the Tea Party wave, producing a documentary about Sarah Palin. Dubbed the most dangerous political operative in America, he is no friend to establishment Republicans or the RNC.
We also did not tell him how to think. We're not telling him who to vote for. I mean, we put the stories up. You guys come to your own conclusions.
Breitbart has pushed conspiracy theories about Clinton and has taken an outsized role bolstering Trump's campaign, often taking on Trump's battles.
Steve Bannon and Breitbart have basically made a living attacking other Republicans, other conservatives. This is their modus operandi. They vilify and they attack people who, with whom they disagree.
Meanwhile, Conway is described as a calming presence, someone who can tell Trump no and travel with him.
I know some are calling it a shakeup, and it really is not. It doesn't feel that way.
The moves come as Trump is badly trailing in the polls. Hillary Clinton in battleground Ohio, seizing on the news.
I think it's fair to say that Donald Trump has shown us who he is. He can hire and fire anybody he wants from his campaign.
Having tried it the traditional way, Trump is now back to his way. Katie Turr, NBC News, New York.
I'm Hallie Jackson in New York, where tonight it may be Donald Trump's most presidential moment yet, his first classified intelligence briefing. And now, more from inside the room, not at Trump Tower, but an office in an FBI building specially designed to prevent eavesdropping. Intelligence sources tell NBC News it's career officers, not political appointees, leading the meeting. The candidate today, combative.
Do you trust intelligence?
Not so much from the people that have been doing it for our country.
At the table with Trump, his top advisors with top secret clearance, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and retired General Mike Flynn. Senior U.S. officials tell NBC Trump's getting more details than the public knows about global threats.
Just let us know how the briefing went today.
How was the briefing, sir?
The briefings were very professional.
The briefings, a 60-year tradition intended to be a tool to prepare each candidate, lately more of a political hammer, each side accusing the other of being too unqualified to hear the sensitive information.
No doubt there's going to be a conversation ensuring the candidate understands that what is being said and heard in that setting, in a classified setting, is not the kind of thing that can be repeated.
Trump's meeting, which just wrapped up here, lasted less than 2 hours. It may be the only briefing he gets as a nominee, but whoever wins in November will receive many more with much more detailed and sensitive information. Lester?
Hallie Jackson in New York tonight. Thank you, Hallie. Now to the flooding disaster still impacting tens of thousands of people in the South. That massive tropical system that devastated Louisiana is now bringing new flash flood watches to Texas. This as the scope of the destruction grows across the region. We get the latest from NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
Tonight in Acadia Parish, more rain and a rising river.
And we just don't know what to do.
We just pumped the water out.
Blaine Koch grew up in this home. Now he hopes sandbags can save it.
My jaw dropped and I said, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. The river's not finished climbing yet.
Esterwood, among the latest communities slammed by the powerful surge of water. Louisiana's record rainfall started Friday, further north near Baton Rouge. For 5 days, that water has flowed south toward the Gulf of Mexico and Lake Pontchartrain, carving a path of destruction. The same system has slowly crawled west. Tonight, 11 million people in Texas are under flash flood watches. While in Denham Springs, Louisiana, the water's finally gone. But for Neil McCleary and his sons, the pain is not.
It's hard to see them because that's what they done. My dad put all this.
Downstream, an agonizing wait until the river crests tomorrow. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Esterwood, Louisiana.
Important news now about the fastest rising cancer diagnosis in the nation. Thyroid cancer cases have tripled in the last 3 decades, but a surprising new report claims that most cases don't need to be treated right away because they are not life-threatening. As NBC's Dr. John Torres explains, tens of thousands could be spared painful surgery and treatments.
Megan Serrano was told 2 years ago she had thyroid cancer. It may seem hard to believe, even risky, but she and her doctor decided not to treat it for now.
Because it's so slow growing, I figured it can't hurt to do the watchful observation and, you know, see what happens.
That's the approach a report in today's New England Journal of Medicine suggests may be best. Researchers found doctors overdiagnose thyroid cancer about 80% of the time because new screening technology is picking up small growths that are slow growing and unlikely to cause symptoms or death.
What happens to these lesions if nothing's done?
The vast majority of patients don't need any treatment for these small thyroid cancers.
Most often diagnosed in women, thyroid cancer treatments can be harsh, involving surgery, radiation, and medication for life.
You gotta skip.
Because Megan Serrano's cancer was small, her doctor at Mount Sinai Hospital recommended careful monitoring, knowing if it starts to grow, it's still treatable.
And they know they have the option to do surgery anytime they want it, but it's not an emergency. The barn's not on fire. They've got some time to think about this. This is an example of one of those overdiagnosed thyroid cancers.
A new way of responding to a cancer diagnosis. Sometimes it's better not to rush into aggressive treatment. Dr. John Torres, NBC News, New York.
Sad news tonight from the world of movies. Arthur Hiller, the Oscar-nominated director of beloved Hollywood classics, has died. Hiller's perhaps best known for 1970s Love Story with Ryan O'Neal and Ally McGraw, but also helmed a number of comedies like the original versions of The Out-of-Towners and The In-Laws. He also served as president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Hiller was 92 years old. When we come back, the kiss scene around the world, the big surprise for Simone Biles and her final five teammates. Just behind our set here on Copacabana Beach, you can see the TVs on in the cafe, people settling in to watch another night of Olympic coverage. It's been fun to watch young, talented athletes become, in some cases, overnight worldwide celebrities. Take American Simone Biles, for example. She got quite the surprise courtesy of the Today Show that taught her being starstruck can be a two-way street. Here's Stephanie Gosk.
Unshakable Simone Biles, winner of four gold medals, a 19-year-old gymnast with nerves of steel. What could possibly make an Olympic champion like this fall to the ground in pieces? Her Achilles heel, her kryptonite.
Stop. Stop, you're lying!
Celebrity crush, Zac Efron.
Is that the final five?
Sensing an opportunity, the Today Show helped arrange the moment by bringing him down to Rio.
Oh, my God! Stop, is this real life? Oh, my God, stop. I'm shaking. I'm so scared.
Last spring, we heard rumors that the unstoppable Biles had a weak spot.
When I show you the picture, you just have to sort of clear your head and tell me the first thing that pops into your mind, okay?
Okay.
Well,
I can't clear my head.
Come on, first word. What comes into your mind?
He's hot.
He's hot.
And then we walked into her bedroom and met the cardboard cutout.
Sometimes I used to kiss him on the cheek.
A few gold medals later.
How did you make this happen? Thank you so much. Oh my God, I think I'm
the real Efron gave her a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
The indisputable proof, just in case Simone Biles needed it, that life as she knew it was over. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, Rio.
You never know who you'll meet around here. That's going to do it for us on this Wednesday night. A reminder, NBC primetime Olympic coverage starts at 8, 7 Central. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thanks for watching and good night from Rio.